Wow. People still getting cups of tea. That's okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're here with us. Thank you, Lord, that you are for us and not against us. Thank you, Jesus, that you want to speak to us this morning. You want to encourage us. You want to bless us. You want to show us what we need to do in our lives. Your will for our lives is what we seek this morning, Lord. And we're going to continue this morning with our series that we've started a few weeks ago about faith. So this week we're talking about Jacob, the life of Jacob. And, you know, we're not going to go through the whole life of Jacob, but we're going to talk about some specific things that happened with him. What we're doing at the moment is we're following through Hebrews 11. And these are all men and women of God who were blessed because they lived by faith. They decided to put their faith in God and believe in his promises. And Jacob is one of these people. So, you know, in Hebrews 11, 21 says this, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on top of his staff." Wow. That's it. That's all it says in Hebrews 11 about Jacob, really. It says a couple other things earlier on, but this is the bit about Jacob. Just says this one verse. "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on top of his staff." That doesn't tell us much, does it? Doesn't tell us a lot about his life. Doesn't tell us about what he did, really. In order to get that, we need to go to Genesis, actually. We need to have a look at Genesis. We're still in Genesis for a lot of these people that we're looking at their lives. Let me just remind you, the reason we're looking here like this is to get inspired. Because when you look at the lives of people of God, people who've chosen to follow God's will for their life, when you choose to do that and you listen, actually you get really blessed and you get encouraged and you get challenged. So Lord, we pray this morning that you would challenge us, that you would encourage us, that you would stretch our faith, that you would lead us in the way that you want to go. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. There's revival coming. Can sense it in the air. There's revival of this nation is coming. Revival of this area is coming. Let's get ready for that, eh? Let's be prepared. Let's be a people prepared. Just like we're standing on a little surfboard, prepared to catch the wave of revival. Because that is coming. And what we're going to talk about this morning is about faith. There's three things we can learn about Jacob's faith. There's lots, actually, but three things that I want to highlight to you this morning. You know, just like Abraham and Isaac, who he's descended from, Jacob never saw the promise that God gave him. He never saw it being fulfilled. But he did pass it on to the next generation. He passed it on, as it says here, to his son Joseph, to his own sons, and to Joseph's sons. He passed on the blessing. And this should be our attitude of faith, brothers and sisters, is keeping on believing. Maybe some of us aren't going to see revival. Maybe when we say it's near, it's like 200 years off. I don't know. But the important thing is we keep fixed on what God wants us to fix our eyes on, which is Jesus. And by reading these stories of awesome men and women of faith, we can be encouraged to keep believing, to keep going, to keep the promise of God in our hearts. And you've heard a lot this morning about the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing away things. And, you know, often we get distracted and deceived and discouraged, don't we? By what we see with our physical eyes around us. We see things aren't working. What's going on here? What's happening here? Fear enters our hearts. Doubts enter our minds. Well, Holy Spirit just wants to clear the way. Clear those away from your heart and from your mind this morning. And fix our eyes on what really matters. So let's have a look here. So I'm going to read a few different passages from Genesis. You can follow these if you want. They won't be on the screen because there's loads of them. But you can listen or you can just follow in your Bible. First of all, the first thing I want to talk about is from Genesis 25, starting with verse 21. "So Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. She couldn't have any children. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant." Wow. That's a miracle. The babies jostled each other within her. And she said, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, a bit like me and Ricky.
Yay!
Red. And his whole body was hairy like a garment. So they named him Esau, which means hairy. That's good, isn't it? After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, which means he grasps the heel, or he deceives, is the real meaning. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. That is why he was also called Edom, which means red. Jacob replied, first, sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore on oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Wow. What's happening here? Interesting, these stories, aren't they? Sometimes you read and you think, what the heck is that about? But you know, this story, this beginning bit, and actually the first part of Jacob's life, really, quite a lot of his life, really, was spent kind of deceiving other people. His brother, he stole his birthright, as you saw here. He also deceived his father later on, and his brother again, by stealing the blessing that was due to his brother Esau. He stole that. And he also deceived his uncle quite a bit later on. Deceived him into getting his wife, and then he ran away with her. His daughter, and then he ran away with her. You know, he's actually got a life of deceiving, of like taking advantage of people close to him. Doesn't sound like a particularly godly life, does it? Does it to you? Doesn't to me. So what can we learn from this? Well, actually, there was something in Jacob that God loved. Something about faith in him that God just loved. And we'll read in a bit, but God massively blessed Jacob. Actually, from the moment he was born, he was blessed. But God loves, actually, something that Jacob had in his heart to do with faith. And that was that he wanted to reach for things that he didn't have. Faith. Part of faith is reaching, actually, for what you don't have. Reaching for what you can't actually even logically see yourself getting, but praying for it and seeking it anyway. You see, Jacob was a bit like that. He had this in his heart. He went about it the wrong way, maybe. He sort of was a deceiver, deceived people. One name for him is Twister. He twists things, you know, in order to get what he wants. But actually, what God saw in him and what God sees in you and me is our potential. And God has something more for us, and he wants to teach us things that are in us and use us. You know, what he could see in Jacob was this desire to have what he couldn't have. And we're in a bit of a situation like that as a church at the moment. We can see this revival. I was looking out, you know, we've got a lot of prophetic words when we look at the sea. Out of the sea, but I was looking out and seeing this ship absolutely miles away, you know, and thinking that seems so far off, you know, that ship. But it's actually coming. It's coming this way. It's moving. Can't see it move. It just looks like it's staying still, but it's moving and it's coming. This revival we're seeking, we're kind of grasping for and really praying for is actually coming. This building next door that God has suddenly highlighted to us as being available and been encouraging us to go for. I mean, look, there's about 30 of us when we're all here. Yeah. There's about 30 of us. That building is 10,000 square meters. It's absolutely massive. So what's God doing? Well, he's teaching us to actually go for something we don't have, to grasp something we don't have, and pray for it, and believe for it. And I want to encourage you in this season of Lent, where you've maybe denied yourself something, where you've decided, right, I'm going to seek God, because I want to be closer to God. I want to encourage you to pray in faith for the things that you think are just, maybe you think, oh, they're so far off. They're so far off, they're never going to happen. Well, I believe God wants to stir us up this morning and say, if you believe, Smith Wigglesworth used to say, just believe. The Bible says this, James says, you do not have because you do not ask God. The reason you don't have is because you don't ask God. Wow. Who's up for asking God in this season of Lent? This is why we do these prayer meetings. This is why we meet here, to encourage each other and to challenge each other. Let's aim for what we can't see happening in the physical. Maybe there's something in your life that you're aiming for, that you're seeking. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's healing of your body physically. Maybe it's provision for something. Maybe it's actually God and salvation and being close to God, and maybe it's holiness. All of these things are awesome and there for the taking if we pray. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to seek God and seek him for what we don't have, what we can't see physically happening, but for what we know God wants for us? This is what we're going to do in this season. You know, I've been reading a bit about Smith Wigglesworth, you know, this awesome, phenomenal man of God with an amazing healing ministry. And it said, at one point it said, he used to seek to make his hearers dissatisfied. I was like, what? Dissatisfied? Yeah, dissatisfied. To make them not content with accepting where they are right now. For accepting not being healed. For accepting not receiving the things that they wanted and they knew God could bless them with. So he sought to stir them up. I believe Holy Spirit wants to do that with us this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. What are you reaching for? What can you not see physically, but as maybe someone given to you in a dream or in a vision or in a prayer in your life that you've not seen happen yet, and maybe you've stopped believing? I believe this is a time for God bringing those things out again in us and enabling us to focus on them again. For me, it's my 7-year-old son, as you, many of you know, as you well know. Actually, we lost faith for him being healed, I'll be honest with you. Lost faith for him being healed, for God healing him, just because we weren't seeing it. Just because we weren't seeing what God had promised happen. See, Stacey and I, as many of you know, when Nathaniel was 2 years old, we had a dream that we know was from God, because we both had the same dream on the same night about the same thing. And it was this. It was Nathaniel running around, speaking, and Stacey, actually, in her dream, he came up to her and he said, "Mummy, I love you." And at the time, we were told by the doctors he'd never speak. He'd probably never speak. He'll always have this autism. It'll always be, you know, it's an incurable thing, autism. You're born with it, you carry on having it. That's it. But recently, God has showed me that dream again. And God has encouraged me. We stopped believing in that dream because we couldn't see it happening. This was 5 years ago we had this dream. To be honest with you, it's hard, isn't it, to keep on believing when you don't see it happening? When you see that nothing's changing. It's hard to keep on believing, isn't it? Very hard. Well, be encouraged, brothers and sisters. God wants us to keep on believing. I've started interceding again for our Nathaniel. Every night, Not because I have to, but because I want to, actually. Because I believe that God is going to heal him now. And I want to encourage you, what have you stopped believing for this morning? What do you think, oh, that never happened to me? Maybe some of you think, I don't deserve it. Well, that's not right. Because God loves you, as you've heard this morning already. And God's waiting to bless you. You know, Jacob, a bit later on we can read, had a dream. Let me tell you about it. So the first thing we can learn about faith is it's about reaching for what we don't have. Reaching for what we can't see, what we don't have. Let me read a second thing to you that I've actually lost. There it is. So this is Genesis a little bit later on. Genesis 28, verse 10. Jacob's kind of come out of being with Laban. He's like fleed from him. And he's taken Rachel and Leah, his two wives, Laban's daughters, with him. And he's like running away. And he's just about to like prepare to meet his brother Esau as well. So at that time, he has this kind of dream, I think. Maybe I've got that wrong way around. But anyway, wrong way around. Anyway, we'll come back to that bit. But this is a dream he had. Okay, it's good when you know what you're talking about. So this is 28, verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. Oh, yes, so he's heading there. Okay, he's heading to Laban now. Sorry, got it wrong around. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I'll bring you back to this land. I'll not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. Wow. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, which means house of God, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. This stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all will be God's, all that you give me, I will give a tenth. Wow. So what happened here? Well, Jacob received a promise from God, didn't he? Pretty phenomenal promise from God. And he chose in that moment to believe that it was God and to accept this promise. And from then on, he kept hold of this promise and he never let it go. You know, a real relationship with God is supernatural. It's absolutely supernatural. And it comes only from spending time with God. If you want to have dreams and visions from God, then it's important to seek him for yourself and to let him guide you supernaturally in your life. You know, that dream we had about our Nathaniel, it's actually God's plan, part of God's plan. We've had many other dreams about many other things, many other visions, many other pictures from God between then and now. But it's important, brothers and sisters, that we're not led by our own decisions, by our own desires, by our own thoughts about, I think this will work, I'll try this. I think that will work, I'll try this. Oh no. If you're a Christian and you have a real living relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then it's important that we follow God's plan. We could have gone for many buildings around here because there's many empty buildings around here. But to be honest with you, God hasn't shown us any of them as being suitable for what we need, except this one. Except this one that's just become available that he showed us three times. God said, what about this one? What about this one? What about this one? About this building. It's important, brothers and sisters, to only be led by God. The Bible says, set your hearts on things above. Not on earthly things. Not on good ideas or things that people say. I want to encourage you to go straight to God, brothers and sisters. When you have a thought, when you have a desire, go straight to God and see if it's from him. See if it's what he wants for your life. Because another thing is, God is in no rush. I don't know if you've noticed. God is in absolutely no rush. He takes his time, God. He makes sure he's a gentle, loving God. He makes sure we're ready, that we're prepared, that we're sure. God wants you to know him more before he can use you to do something awesome. I mean, who knows loads of stuff about autism? We've got an autistic son, but to be honest, we don't know loads about autism. I wonder if you do, maybe not. But it's something that God is calling us as a group to do. It's part of our double-edged sword vision, this, that Stephen mentioned when he talked about the prayer meetings. We have a double-edged sword vision, brothers and sisters. One is the gospel, one side. And part of that, on the other side, is good works. But we can't just go out there and do good works willy-nilly, can we? If we're not guided to do something of God, because then good works become dead works. And I don't know about you, but I don't really want to spend my life doing dead works. I want to spend my life doing God's will and only that. Do you? Should we decide to do it this morning? Let's set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. It's important that we live in the supernatural and not in the physical, brothers and sisters. Maybe you need to repent this morning. I do. Maybe you need to repent of just doing things because they sounded good, or you think you should do them. I should do that because other people are doing that, or there's a need there, so I should try and meet it. Well, that's nice and good, but is it of God? Is it what God wants for you? Or isn't it? I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, trust in God and he will use you mightily. He uses Jacob and blesses him. And all Jacob really does at the end of the day is pass on the blessing. You read at the end of Genesis, you know, half of Genesis is about Jacob really, and then a bit about Joseph in the end there. But he passes on the blessing to his sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. And they're the ones who flourish in Egypt, and they're the ones who Moses leads out across, you know, the awesome parting the Red Sea and the Exodus, phenomenal things that happen. These guys didn't see any of that stuff. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were just believing in the promise, passing on the blessing. So, reach for what you don't have. And decide to trust God and believe in his promises and only those, and you will be blessed. You see, even though Gabriel's an absolute nightmare, come on, Gabriel, you can do it. Spider-Man, you could do it. So now we get to the bit I was talking about, which I got wrong way around. Now we get to the third part of this, Genesis 32, verse 22. Genesis 32, verse 22. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he'd sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel." Israel means struggles with God, also means prince. Because you've struggled with God and with men and have overcome. Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called that place Peniel. Peniel means the face of God, saying, "It's because I saw God's face, God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. What is going on here? Wow. This is an interesting life, isn't it? These are not the only things that happen in Jacob's life, by the way. But these are the things that I think God wants to say to us this morning. Jacob wrestled with God. This was God he was wrestling with. Says a man. Sounds a bit like Jesus to me. You know, if you look, you can see Jesus all through the Old Testament. You can see Jesus. He's wrestling with God because he wants a blessing, but God, for some reason, isn't giving him a blessing. For ages, all night, it says, he's wrestling with God. You know, when you read something like this in the physical thing happening in the Old Testament, actually, what's physical then becomes true for us spiritually now. Struggling with God. How many of us really struggle with God? It's said of Martin Luther that he struggled with God in prayer all night sometimes. Struggled with him. What was he struggling with? What was Jacob struggling with? Well, actually, he was struggling with, I think, his inner self. This was Jacob struggling with his inner self, because he'd lived a life of kind of selfishness, really, of deceiving others and selfishness to get what he wanted. And God had to deal with that in him before he could bless him and really use him. So God touched him on the hip, and then he had a limp from that point forward. Was it because God wanted to hurt him? No, it's because God wanted to impact him and change him. You know, when your name is changed, actually it's your character that's changed, because your name has a meaning. In this culture, Hebrew culture, the name is very important. Loads of names for God. The name, changing someone's name is significant, because it's a change in who they are, a change in identity. Jacob's struggle was with his inner self. God couldn't bless Jacob unless he admitted his weakness, his reliance on himself, his deceitfulness, his trickery. God wants to do something in you and me in order to enable us to be a blessing to other people. This is why we do this Route 61 course. It's because we want, as Christians, you know, we want to be as effective as possible with the gospel. When we go out and minister and do things for God, we don't want to let our hurts and hang-ups prevent us from doing God's will, because what happens in reality is hurt people just hurt people. And actually, you can read straight after this, Jacob meets his brother Esau, who was, you know, he thought was trying to kill him. He meets him straight after this and he's reconciled to him. And the rest of his life, Jacob's life, is absolutely blessed. He doesn't do any more of this trickery, any more of this deceitfulness. Why? Because God has changed him. He's been humbled, actually. It's quite humbling to walk with a limp when you've been, you know, not used to having one, isn't it? I didn't want to have an autistic son. It wasn't my plan. It's a very hard life. The reason he's not here this morning, Nathaniel, is because very hard work in there for Stacey with him. Because he doesn't fit. This is why we want this place so we can do something just for him and other children like him. This is why we want to reach families like ours. Many of them in this area do not have God in their life. And we want them to know God. We want to stop this tide that's going across the UK and across Europe of depression and anxiety and mental health problems. I mean, I work at the uni, and now there's a whole building for mental health problems where students go because they just can't deal with life. Many of the families that God has pointed us towards to reach, they're in dire need, brothers and sisters of the gospel. They're in dire need of that. If we want to be used by God, actually we have to be willing to be humbled by him. It's only when you surrender that actually God can use you. Do you know that? Actually, when you surrender everything to God and you say, Jesus, I believe in you and you only. I believe you died for my sins. It's only when you really do that that actually the blessing comes. Shall we stand? I wonder what you need this morning. I wonder if you know what you need. Maybe you don't. But I believe this is a moment for you. You know, sometimes a real encounter with God isn't particularly pleasant at the time. But it's so worth it, brothers and sisters. It's so worth being blessed by God. I want to encourage you this morning. Encourage us this morning. Believe Holy Spirit is saying these things. Let's reach for what we don't have in faith, as if we are going to get it. You know, once I needed healing in my body, I had a physical problem in my body for about 10 years. And some people came to speak at our church once. And they said, if you just reach up in faith, reach to heaven in faith, claim it and pull it down, then it'll be yours. So I did that. The next morning, I was healed completely and I never had the problem again. What did I do? I just believed that this was going to happen for me. Why don't you decide to do that in your hearts this morning? Believe and not accept anything else until you see it come to pass. Decide, I'm going to persist in prayer about this because I want it. And I believe it's God. Why don't you decide this morning to trust in the promises that God has given you, even if you've not seen them yet? Why don't we choose right now to trust in that dream or that picture or that vision that somebody gave you all those years ago, or that God gave you directly? Why don't you choose to do that today? Believe and carry on believing and persevere and persist. Thank you, Lord. And if you need an encounter with God this morning, if you need a blessing to be released in your life, if you need to repent, maybe you're holding on to unforgiveness. Maybe you're holding on to something, some unforgiveness. Maybe you're holding something against somebody. Well, I believe God wants to remove that blockage. Remove it in Jesus' mighty name. Maybe you're fearful this morning. Maybe you have doubts. Maybe you've failed so many times that you think, oh, I can't do it again. I can't just can't do it again. Well, just give this to God. Give him your fears and your failures. Be honest with him. Repent of trying to do things your own way and say, look, God, I can't actually do it. I can't heal our Nathaniel, but you can. What is it you need this morning? We'd love to pray for you this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Give us your Rhema word for us personally this morning. Let go this morning. Let go and surrender everything to God. If you haven't given God your life yet, why don't you do it right now? Why don't you say, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for all my fears and failures, for all my guilt and shame. Thank you, Jesus. Please change me from the inside out, Holy Spirit. Come into my life so that I know for sure and I'm certain that whatever happens in my life, I'm heading for heaven because of what Jesus has done for me. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you need a touch from God right now. There are people in here who need to be healed, who need healing. We'd love to pray for you this morning for healing. If that's you, why don't you just come to the front? Or if you want prayer for anything, just come now. Come and we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to bless you. God is waiting here, ready to bless everyone who seeks him. Thank you, Lord.